We appreciate your presence, and if you happen to be visiting with us, we thank you for coming and blessing us here tonight. I want to conclude our study of Romans chapter 12. The first lesson, we focused on our being living sacrifices for God. Paul challenged us to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And one translation renders it, do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. The second lesson, Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, reminded us that we are the one body of Christ, that we're one body, many members, and that God has gifted each one of us, and we are to use our talents, our gifts, to build up the body of Christ. The third lesson focused on Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. And Paul there gave us 12 power-packed principles for living a dynamic Christian life, and we attempted to reduce those 12 principles to 9 qualities. We talked about authentic love, some positives and negatives, relationships, enthusiasm, servanthood, hope and perseverance, prayer, benevolence, and hospitality. So tonight, I want us to consider Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 14, a challenging section as Paul concludes Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Paul continues to challenge us with principles for maintaining healthy, strong relationships. Number one, good will. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Although our persecutors are normally outside the Christian community, and this verse anticipates verses 17 through 21, yet the call to bless them is a necessary challenge to Christian love. Blessing and cursing, of course, are opposite. Wishing people respectively good or evil or ill, health or harm. And it seems to me that Paul, in some ways, is echoing the teaching of Jesus, Luke chapter 6. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Or Matthew 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. No better way to express our positive wishes for our enemies' welfare than to turn them into prayer and into action. Number two, sympathy. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Love never stands aloof from other people's joys or pains. Love does its best to identify with them, to sing with them, and to suffer with them. Love enters deeply into their experiences and their emotions, their laughter and their tears, and feels solidarity with them. Number three is harmony. Be of the same mind toward one another. Be of the same mind and so live in agreement with one another. This phraseology here is almost identical with Paul's appeals to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And so once again, we know the fundamental place occupied by our mind. Now, since Christians have a renewed mind, it should also strive to be a common mind, sharing the same basic convictions and concerns. And with this common mind, without this common mind, we cannot live or work together in harmony. And then humility. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Pride is a barrier to both unity in the church and caring for the lowly. When we have too high a view of ourselves, we think we are always right and do not listen to the ideas of others. An important solution that Paul offers here is to associate with the lowly, which means both lowly people and lowly things. And Jesus taught true disciples are known for their servant attitude. One translation renders it, never be condescending, but make real friends with the poor. Now, let's consider four resounding negative imperatives. Do not curse. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. Now, we already looked at that from the earlier verses here in Romans chapter 12. Number two, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Verses 17 and 18, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. To refuse to repay evil is to refuse to inflame a quarrel. But this is not enough. We also have to take the initiative in positive peacemaking. Even if, as the two qualifications indicate, if it is possible, and so far as it depends on you. Now, this is not always possible. For sometimes other people either are not willing to live at peace with us, or sometimes they may want to lay down a condition for reconciliation which would involve an unacceptable moral compromise. But as much as it depends upon you, be at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, to this negative, Paul again offers a positive counterpart, or actually two. The first is to leave room for the wrath of God, and the second is, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, these verbal correspondences between what is written of God and what is forbidden to us makes Paul's point plain. The two activities which are prohibited to us, retaliation and punishment, are now said to belong to God. The reason the repayment or judging of evil is forbidden to us is not that it is wrong in itself, but evil deserves to be punished and should be, but that is God's prerogative, not ours. We are to leave it to the wrath of God, which is expressed now through governing authorities and ultimately when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. The burning coals on one's head may be a symbol of the shame and remorse experienced by an enemy who is rebuked by kindness. 1 Peter chapter 2, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And then, do not be overcome by evil. The last verse, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we bless our persecutors, if we are intent on doing good, if we are active in peacemaking and peacekeeping, if we leave judgment to God, and if we love and serve our enemy, then in these ways we have overcome evil with good. In all our thinking and living, it is important to keep the negative and positive counterparts together. Both are good. If we strive to be positive, to bless, to do good, to seek peace, and to serve and to try to convert our enemy, because if we repay good for evil, I believe that we in some ways can reduce evil in the world while at the same time increasing the good. Challenging verses? You better believe it. In this day and time in which we're living, these are very challenging verses that the Apostle Paul presents to us. But Romans 12 is a tremendous chapter here in the great book of Romans. I've suggested to you before that I think Romans 1 through 11 presents to us, you know, the beliefs, the basic doctrines. And then chapter 12 begins to discuss the behaviors that are to follow those doctrines. We might say doctrine, duty, beliefs, behaviors. But that's what Paul lays out some of the basic beliefs and doctrines of the Christian faith. And now here is how we can apply those situations. But I think he does that in a powerful way here in chapter 12. Now, chapter 13, he will talk about our relationship with our governing authorities. You know, 14 and 15, he'll talk again about relationships that we have with one another. But I think he really kind of sums it all up together here in chapter 12. In terms of, you present your body as a living sacrifice. Remember, you are a part of the body of Christ. We are one body, but many members. We have different talents. And then he also, you know, talks again about some really essential qualities for living the Christian life, and then concludes here with these four powerful imperatives, both on the positive side and on the negative side. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I have always been challenged by these verses that we have shared tonight. And I pray, Father, that you will help each one of us, as Paul instructed, that if it's possible, as much as it depends upon us, that we will do our very best to live at peace with all people. And help us, Father, to leave the vengeance and the wrath to you. Help us to do our very best to try to do good to those who may try to harm us. And that is not always easy at all. We're human. And sometimes those human emotions, you know, come forth. But I pray, Father, that you will help us to truly try to place these principles deep within our heart, and that we'll do our best to try to overcome evil with good. Help us, Father, as we go out here this week to try to translate these principles into our everyday life. And again, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through this word. We thank you again for the powerful example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not seek to threaten or get back to those who were doing it to him. And may we do our very best to follow that example of him in all things. Thank you again, Father, for our time together here tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.